Amen. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and your kindness. And Lord, we just give this time to you and pray you speak to us. Pray you be our encouragement, Lord. And we just thank you for your goodness. And God, we give you all things. Anoint me and I just speak words of the Spirit. And I pray, open each heart to receive the Spirit, the depth of what the Word says. And so we just thank you in advance. So Lord, we just give you honor and glory in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So we're in the book of Romans. Turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 12, verse 9. Romans chapter 12, verse 9. Says this: let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Now, what we're going to look at this morning is a specific to-do list, all right? This is God's specific to-do list. And if you've been here for a while and know me, you know I hate to-do lists. Just hate to-do lists. Hate them when Linda gives them to me, and really don't like them in the Bible either. But the to-do. However, when God has a to-do list, I think we better pay attention what he says. Now, this to-do list, if you will, applies to relationships within the church body. I want us to think about it. It's within the church body. Now, because the things that he addressed are part of us, there certainly is a broader application outside the body. Okay? So just prioritize. It's talking about the church body. That's the whole context. But it also has a broader application outside the church body. Okay, and this list, and I can fairly confident say that this list is preached in every church that calls it Christian. Every one of them. I mean, if they're liberal and don't believe in the inspiration of Scripture, the deity, they'll still preach this list. If you're fundamental Bible believing and got all your doctrines, you're going to preach this list. So everybody's going to preach this list, you know. So it's kind of like, wow, this is a good list that God has here. However, and this is a big however, most of the time, when these messages are preached on this to-do list, they're preached without referring to the related power to accomplish everything on the list. All right, you with me? Here's the list, but okay, need also to preach. Here's the power to do the list. Now, we at Broadlands Community Church, all right, know that accomplishing this list or any list is based on understanding and applying the first eight chapters. Amen? Okay. I mean, we know the list is here, but to apply it, to do all the things it said, you have to understand the first eight chapters. And when you understand the first eight chapters, then you have the capacity and the power to do what God is telling you afterwards. That's the way put it. And we've gone over that several times. So, when we do that, walk in the first eight chapters and then do what God tells us, the church is just a wonderful place to be. Amen. I just wonder. Everybody's practicing chapters 1 through 8. You know, what a glorious time. Look at Romans 8:5. We'll just go back to chapter 8, verse 5. Romans 8:5. Those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. And just say, oh, joy. Okay. Now, amen. That's good. But there's a big however, okay? However we need to look at. And however is it not everyone, I mean, the list is good. This is not however on the list. The however is here is that people sometimes in the church don't practice chapters 1 through 8. Every once in a while, I'm just saying, the people in the church just do chapters 1 through 8. Maybe they had a bad day. Maybe they had a bad month. Maybe they're having a bad year. Okay? But just not. They're just not doing it. Okay? Well, and so if that's the case, it's a little harder to be as loving as we should be, right? How come everybody's looking down? I mean, you're right. I mean, you know, sometimes people don't do what they're supposed to, and it makes it a little hard to be as loving as it says. Let your love be genuine. See, I say, my love's going to be genuine when you practice chapters 1 through 8. I'm done. If you quit 1 through 8, it's, no, you're on your own. No, that's not, the Bible doesn't say that. So anyway, so people have bad days. Or sometimes the issue may be where we having trouble having our love to be genuine and practicing chapters 1 through 8. We have to deal with Christians who are chapter 7 Christians. Okay, we've talked about that, chapter 7 Christians, who have no understanding of the Holy Spirit and work completely out of their fallen nature. These people not only are miserable, but they want to share their frustrations everywhere. Sometimes you see someone like that in the church, and it's like, it's a challenge. You know, it's a challenge to practice chapters 1 through 8 on someone who's not practicing chapters 1 through 8. And probably think you're wrong anyway, all right? Or sometimes, now again, I'm going to what it says right here. Let your love be genuine. Genuine, okay? Or sometimes we might deal with chapter 3 Christians, okay? Now chapter 3 Christians are saved, all right? But they act like two-year-olds, all right? Running around the house who've not developed any discipline whatsoever, causing havoc to everyone around them. Sweet darlings. Darlings. Remember, we're talking about folks in the church. Folks in the church. Or sometimes we must deal with those who say they're in the kingdom, but only Jesus knows if they're in the kingdom. I mean, it's like, I'm hearing what you're saying, but it's between you and Jesus. I'm not seeing any evidence. Now, but what the Bible's telling us is that God tells us we're to have genuine love for all of them. Amen? Amen? And we're supposed to love them all. But they're not practicing chapters 1 through 8. No, we're to love all of them, no matter where they are. And we're to serve as a good example to bring them along to the place where they should be, even if they don't want to come. All right. Now, we know also, in this, we look at this, we know where the will of God is revealed. The Spirit of God enables us with faith and prayerfulness to achieve all He commands us. Amen? Like, let your love be genuine. Now, also we know that apart from the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and apart from the renewing of our minds, these commandments are impossible to consistently achieve. See, and I'm going back, let your love be genuine. By the way, the love there is agape love, totally self-sacrificing. But you're acting like a two-year-old. Doesn't make any difference. It's self-sacrificing. But you're a chapter 7 Christian in your belly aching day. Daylight till dark. Doesn't make any difference. It's a self-sacrificing love. Let your love be genuine. See, so it's us who are practicing chapters 1 through 8. And it's like, oh, if we don't have the presence and dependence on the Holy Spirit, we can't do what God's telling us. And God forbid, if you're in a church and they just say, practice genuine love and just lay it on you with no power, well, that's miserable for everybody. And it's ripe for all sorts of hypocrisy, you know, because it's like, oh, it's just impossible to do, so you got to do the best you can to fake it. To fake it, because you don't want to be judged by the other people. Like, oh, darling, and so they're acting crazy in the body, and you go home, and you're trying to show love, and they're not being respectful. You said, no, I'm showing genuine love. Then you get in the car with your wife. Did you see them? They're driving me nuts. That's not genuine love. See? You really tell when you get in the car with your spouse. It's like, ah! See? Well, so this is the place where we are at. Now, what we want to do is, these verses are absolutely good and absolutely inspired. But what we have to realize when we look at this is that we have a good foundation in chapters 1 through 8. And if this is the first message people have heard on this, you know, what are you talking about? Well, chapters 1 through 8 gives a whole view of Christian theology. Salvation in chapter 3, you know, making the decision in chapter 6. You know, you have your struggles in chapter 7. Chapter 4 talks about faith, you know. Then you boom, in chapter 8, it's how we live it through the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay, then chapter 12, it says we present our body as living sacrifice because we renewed our mind. Now, let your love be genuine. See, this is a terrible place to start. Romans, you know, 12:9, and you have no background. See, but it's not. And so this is real helpful, and I'm going to reinforce the point here, is that to be able to do what God tells us to do in this situation, in showing genuine love, we have to have that background of how to appropriate everything God has given us. Amen? So we do it. You know, I've gone to churches. We believe in power of healing, raising the dead, you know. Okay, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay, fine, okay. But I want you to try this one. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, let your love be genuine. And you're going to find out, since a lot of times it's harder than raising the dead. You know what I mean? Because the dead don't talk back to you. You're showing genuine love and they don't appreciate it. I told you I love you, stop it. No, you see what I'm saying? Honest to goodness. Showing genuine love can be a greater impossibility than walking in supernatural spirits, in spirit, okay, like healing the sick or, you know, raising the dead or prophesying. No, the greatest power of the Holy Spirit is showing genuine love. And in fact, those who are filled with the Spirit or think they're filled with the Spirit who can't show genuine love really don't have the capacity or the power of God to do all these other acts of the Spirit. You with me? I mean, this is, you see the big deal. See how this is coming up to this and how important it is to see the fullness of Christ in us so that we can do this to show genuine love. Okay, therefore, here we are. By embracing chapters 1 through 8, we present ourselves with power through the Holy Spirit as living sacrifices. Okay, are you ready for the list? This is a lead up to the list. Are you ready for the list? Power of the Holy Spirit to get this done. If you don't, you're not going to pull it off. Not going to pull it off. Not going to happen. Not going to happen. Not consistently. So, started off ahead in verse 9, then our love will be genuine with the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, it doesn't say that. I just added that, okay, because we read the whole book, okay? So, our love will be genuine with the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm going to say this verse all the through after the verses. I'm going to say, our love will be genuine with the power of the Holy Spirit. And then I'm going to say, and all God's people said, and you'll say, amen. That means you're tracking with me. And that means you're accountable to what I just read, because you just agreed with it. Okay, you know? Okay, so here we are. Now, I'm just going to go through the list fairly fast. Just read it. The next verse here is Romans 12:10. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. With the power of the Holy Spirit, we say, amen. Boy, that's a weak amen. It's like, you amen. I'm not amening that. No, come on. With the power of the Holy Spirit, we say, amen. All right, next. Romans 12:11. Do not be slothful in zeal, but fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. With the power of the Holy Spirit, we say, Amen. Amen. Romans 12:12. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. With the power of the Holy Spirit, we say, Amen. Amen. Romans 12:13. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. By the way, seek to show hospitality. With the power of the Holy Spirit, we say, Amen. Amen. Romans 12:14. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. With the power of the Holy Spirit, we say, Amen. That's a lower and lower. Okay. Come on, let's do it. And with the power of the Holy Spirit, we say, Amen. Oh my gosh. Lord, look at that. Romans 12:15. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. The power of the Holy Spirit, we say, Amen. Amen. Romans 12:16. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. With the power of the Holy Spirit, we say, Amen. Oh, my. Romans 12:17. This is some kind of list, right? I mean, Lord, let up. Okay, Romans 12:17. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. The power of the Holy Spirit, we say, Amen. Now it says here, Romans 12:18. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. The power of the Holy Spirit, we say, Amen. Now what's here, this is kind of a big amen here, because what it says here, if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceable. See, God is warning us that when we stand for good, it may not be possible to live at peace. That's what it's saying. So it lets us know. See, we think we do it and we do this and everybody's happy. And they're happy with us. No, we do this, and somebody's just going to make them mad. See? But what are you mad at me for? I just did what God said, you know? Do you like that? So I've violated something on the list. I don't know when I said that. Okay. But it's like, whoa. No. Genuine love is what? Self-sacrificing, not respecting, expecting anything to you. So it doesn't make any difference what they said to me. Well, well, God. See, so he's put us in this place where we understand chapters 1 through 8, you know, in the church, that we have to act it out. And it's all of a sudden, it's like, man, these people you put in the church, you know, need a good Bible study or something. I mean, they're not behaving the way I think they ought to behave. And Lord, what are you doing? And why can't they visit somebody else's church and share their blessing with them? You see what I'm saying? God goes, no. Loving and kind. And this is what I said. This is your responsibility because you know. And you initiate the power of the Holy Spirit because you understand it. No, I won't pray the sick and see the sick healed. Yeah, okay. But first, I'm going to show genuine love to those that are not lovable. I'd rather they go heal the sick. You know, I don't want to spend time with these folks that are not lovable. And by the way, we're talking in the church. I know it's not true of our church, but in some churches, people have come in that are not lovable. You know, all of us are lovable. So anyway, we don't. But that's the point. Now, of course, there's application to the world where we show Christian love. Okay, there's no doubt. We show that there's an overflow of that. Now, so as going through this, it becomes very much apparent in this list that we recognize that these commands and how difficult they are, and we recognize that we're going to need the Holy Spirit wisdom to carry this out. Right? We're going to need the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. This just is not going to come real easy. It's going to be everything against our human nature. And see, the Holy Spirit in us, which we studied, first eight chapters, specifically chapter 8, the Holy Spirit is what makes us different. And the Holy Spirit is Christ in us, God in us, however you want to put it. That's what makes us different. It doesn't make us different because we have a new set of rules. It makes us different because of who is in us. And based on who is in us, we have the capacity and power to do what it says here, which will flow naturally. By the way, everything of this will flow naturally out of the Holy Spirit. So if we're really in tune with the Holy Spirit, it just flows out. So it's good to know, renew your mind. Oh, this is what the Holy Spirit's thinking. Maybe I can cooperate a little more when I feel these promptings. You see what I'm saying? It all fits together. It all fits together. And God is showing the dynamic which he wants in his body, which certainly will flow out to those around us. But the Holy Spirit's what makes us different. Just look at Romans 8:14 again. Romans 8:14. For all who are led by the Spirit are sons of God. So that means all of us. But you're saying, I'm trying to be nice to so-and-so, and they're not nice to me. And they're not being led by the Son of God and Holy Spirit and Lord. I didn't say, I said, you show your love genuine. You be led by the Holy Spirit and show yourself to be sons of God. All right? And then I'll take care of the others. You know what your responsibility is. Amen? Because love, what is love? Agape love? Self-sacrificing, expecting nothing in return. See? Are you sure that's what? Yes, look it up. It actually says that. It is. Let your love be genuine. So it's a genuine self-sacrificing, a genuine not expecting anything in return. We're just praising God, serving Jesus, and we don't care. People don't like us. All right. So that's the view. And so he's telling them. So that's, again, so in context, we have that list, and we go, okay, we see that now. And that's going to be a challenge. You know, it's going to be a challenge. God's going to be transforming us to depend on the Holy Spirit to work through us. We have to renew our minds, and we're to show that love. You know, and one of the most, you know, convicting things in Scripture, and it says, they'll know you by your love. It says that. It's going to know you by your love. And right here it tells you what it's genuine love. It's self-sacrificing, expecting nothing in return. And they're going to know you because nobody else is doing that. You see what I'm saying? So here, now, so when you read that list, I just taken all this time, I want you to know that's the context that this list is given. Don't give this list to somebody who had zero power. Don't do that. All right? Introduce them to Christ, the Holy Spirit, or whatever. But don't give them this list. I mean, it's hard enough for us to do it. Then putting it on somebody else, you know? So anyway, y'all with me? Okay. All right. Now, there's a however as we continue. Okay? But you're with me up to this point. Amen? Okay, here's another however. However, with Holy Spirit wisdom, this is my question to God, my question, your question. However, with Holy Spirit wisdom, what about those people who are nasty, deceitful, and wicked? Everybody in there? I mean, they might come to church sometime, you know? But what about those folks? What about them? And there are nasty, deceitful, wicked people. And it crosses my mind before the Lord is like, you know, they deserve punishment. Maybe even my punishment, right? They deserve anger, maybe even my anger. They deserve a rebuke, maybe even my rebuke. Amen? I mean, I can help God out. I mean, these people are impossible. I'm sure he wants me to step in for him and bring a little wrath on them. I've tried that. It never works, you know. And then you're convicted, and then you have to ask for forgiveness, and then it's just the biggest mess, and then they start blaming you for everything. So I have nothing to do with that. Anyway, I'm just telling you what happens if you try that. So here it is. So what God is telling us here, brother and sister, there's going to be nasty people, but brothers and sister, I'm going to take care of you, and I'll take care of them. Okay, that's what God is going to tell us. I'm going to take care of you, and when these nasty people come in, I'm going to take care of you, and I'll take care of them. See, what that does, it presses our faith to a level that God can take care of nasty people. He can do it, you know. And what he wants us to do is to cooperate with him while he does it. And you know where God shows us how to deal with nasty people? Next verse. And here it says, so as if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceable with all. But the next verse, verse 19, says this, beloved, never avenge yourselves. Oh, come on. Not maybe a little bit. Maybe just a little bit. I could just tell them how I really think, you know, ever since. You know. Beloved, never avenge yourselves. Now, what is the context here? The list, behavior within the church. Okay, now, flows outside. Never avenge yourselves. And I go, maybe sometime. Never avenge yourselves. Never. Then it goes on, it says, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. This is in the list. The verse literally says, leave room for the wrath of God. That's what it literally said. Certain Bibles will say, well, leave it to God. Well, okay, but it literally says, leave room for the wrath of God. Don't be pouring your wrath on this stuff. Back up. Just leave room for me. You're throwing so much wrath on it, I can't do anything. I'll never get what I want to do. You back off, and I'll take care of this. Leave room for the wrath of God. Vengeance is my... I'm thinking whether it should. There's several commentaries I've read on this, and it's surprising how few agree with what I just said. Now, what they will say is like, well, no, Jesus wouldn't have done that. I go, well, who wrote this? No, or they'll say, well, no, when Jesus said, he didn't say that. But he did say it. And their comment, well, it's inconsistent with the way God works. It's inconsistent with Jesus working. I'm saying, wait a minute. You read what Jesus said. I mean, he condemned people to hell. He called down wrath. He did it. So there's a certain theological edge that says, well, I can't accept this. Well, anyway, the way I look at these things, read what it says, and it says what it says, period. Anybody who reads this is going to say, it says what it says. For instance, don't avenge yourself, ever. But leave room for the wrath of God. And that's God to pour out his wrath because of their wrongdoing. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay. I mean, it just says what it says. Now, this is in the list. These are nasty people. These are wicked people. These people, who are they nasty and wicked to? You. They're wicked people. Now, what are we doing with these people? Our love is genuine. All right? I mean, we that one didn't leave, okay? But he said, but don't show vengeance because your love is genuine for them. You leave room for the wrath of God, for vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Now, so leave room for the wrath of God. Now, look, I want you to think about this. If we're pouring out our wrath, there's no room for God's wrath. We've sucked up all the air in the situation, and God's not going to enter it. If we step back and remove our wrath, it opens that there's a void there which God fills with his wrath. You know? Or we can go back to our lesson on the Holy Spirit in chapter 8. Remember what I said about that on our message on vacate. Vacate, and God can occupy. I'm pouring out wrath. No, you vacate, and God occupies. That's what it's saying here. Or it means, you know, I says you're digging, you know, and the Holy Spirit's there. So what are you doing? Dig here, dig. No, you're digging. It says, no, you get out of the ditch, and the Holy Spirit gets in the ditch. You have to get out of the ditch to make room for the Holy Spirit to get in the ditch. Leave room for the work of God. But you got to get out of the ditch and quit digging to leave room for the work of God. Amen? I mean, this is what this is saying. It's all tied together. Isn't it amazing? Chapter 12 is tied together with Romans 8 because it's all built together. It's not built to study the individual verses to plaster on your refrigerator and memorize them solely. That can be real good. No, it all flows together. It all flows together. So this is really insightful, I think. When you go back at that message, vacate. I encourage you to go back and listen to that message. Vacate. Vacate so God can occupy. For the Holy Spirit to work, to do a work, we have to vacate and let him occupy. If we're in the ditch, we had to get out of the ditch so he can dig in the ditch. If we're in the ditch digging, we have to stop digging and get out so God can get and dig. It's all the same thing. And what it's saying here, don't avenge yourselves, because that's digging the ditch. Don't avenge yourself, because that is occupying what I'm to occupy. So what I'm telling you, stop digging. Vacate so God can occupy. Get out of the ditch so God can get in the ditch. See, it ties back, what is the biggest problem with the working of the power of God? Us. God goes, I want in it, and I want to work here. And what's keeping him out of the ditch? Us. It's like, you want it? You got it. You get out, and I'll get in. And that takes faith, understanding of the whole book of Romans, chapters 1 through 8, with applications here. And this is what living sacrifices do. Living sacrifices do what God tells them to do. Get out of the ditch. Leave room for the wrath of God. It says, leave room for the wrath of God. Vengeance is mine. I will repay those people, those nasty, hurtful people. I will take care of. I'll take care of you. Now again, who's he talking about? Well, they said a bad name to me. And, you know, they said that my clothes didn't match. And, you know, they're just nasty people. No, they're not nasty people. All right, they got other issues like that and the other thing. But, you know, you show them genuine love. They'll work through it, and they'll get married one day, and their wife will get them straight, you know, and get their clothes matched. Okay? I mean, it's like, no, we're talking about nasty people, deceitful, hurtful, mean people. They can be very subtle about it, very quiet about it, but nonetheless, you get the message. But this is it. So it's helping us. God's giving you, I gave this list. You go, wow. And he says, but you got to realize this will happen. Does genuine love change for us? No. With genuine love, we just, okay, God, we'll get out of the ditch. And you have it. That's what it's saying. That's the whole context. That's the whole context here. Now, the next part of this is even like, for me, it's like, you got to be kidding, Lord. You just really have to be kidding. So we're in this whole context. You're with me in this context. Now God tells us how to get out of the ditch and how to vacate and let God occupy. Now, this is a how-to. How do I get out of the ditch? How do I let God occupy? How do I vacate? You know, how? Well, he tells us right here how to do it. You ready? How? It's going to be so clear, you're just going to be blown away. Not going to want to do it, but you're going to be blown away. This is how you get out of the ditch. This is how you vacate. Romans 12:20. If your enemy is hungry, these are the nasty, deceitful, wicked people. Same, it's in context. Next verse. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. Lord. See, that's how you get out of the ditch. But I don't, it's enough to just keep my mouth shut. But listen, I got to feed the sucker. You know? I mean, I cook a meal for this guy? I mean, I'm doing good just keep my mouth shut. I got to feed him? Yes. That's how you get out of the ditch. Amen. No, I'm not going to ask you amen because you're not going to say it. You're going, no, I'm not doing it. See, it's like, this is how you get out of the ditch. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. Next verse, next clause. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Well, that's what I wanted to do when I was in the ditch with him. I mean, I was telling him. Yeah, I was heaping those coals. Just no, you feed him. He's hungry. He's thirsty. You give him something to drink. And by doing that, you will heap burning coals on his head. Now, what I want to do is just put all this thing together. Think about what's being said here. This really, truly is a great mystery of Christianity. Now, I would imagine there's a certain bit, I should add this, there's a certain bit has to go with your attitude in this. I'll feed you, buddy, and you'll burn. It's like, no. You show, feed him, you show genuine love. You leave that to me. See, your heart has to be right. Remember how we started this off? Let your heart be, show genuine love. So that never changed. So when we feed him, it's out of genuine love. See? God is just telling us, giving us a little motivation. You say, man, I'm just getting this. This guy's doing me so much harm. No, you worry about it. Vengeance is mine. Don't you show it. You show genuine love. Okay? You feed him. You give him something to drink. But I'm just telling you, when you show genuine love, you're heaping coals on his head. My coals. I will repay. You just moved out of the way for my wrath because you genuinely loved him and you genuinely gave him something to eat and drink. But do you see what that takes? That takes a view of the kingdom of God and our position in it and how we work and what we do and what God does. In fact, when we feed him and give him something to drink, he'd probably have a tear in our eye. Buddy, it's not going to be good for you. It's not, you know. Because what you've done by bringing shame on God's anointed, by attacking God's anointed, God is going to step in the place and take care of you because you're not to harm God's anointed, God's people. Remember when Jesus confronted the Apostle Paul? The Apostle Paul was condemning the church. He was condemning the church and putting those in the church in jail. That's what the Apostle Paul does. And then Jesus appeared to the Apostle Paul, and what did he say? Paul, why do you persecute? Finish the sentence. Why do you persecute me? Me. See, you persecute the church, you persecute me. And in this situation where the wicked, you're not to have vengeance. That's not the job of the church. But they're being wicked to God's people. They're persecuting God. And God says, just get out of the ditch. I'll pour out my wrath because that's who they persecuted. Not you. They persecuted me. You ever see on TV people are just down, you know, bringing wrath upon the church, bringing wrath upon believers, and you go, oh, no, that was a bad. That was bad. But it's not like, yeah, they're going to get you, buddy. No, there's no genuine love in that. You see what I'm saying? So our attitude is genuine love. Our attitude is genuine love. But we know what God's going to do. We understand the kingdom. We understand the kingdom. So we feed them. We gather it. We feed them. They're thirsty. We give them something to drink. That's how you get out of the ditch. That's how you vacate. That's how. Okay? And then God gets in the ditch. Then God occupies. And when he occupies for bad things, he brings his wrath. And it's not like, oh, he'll punish it. No, he brings his wrath. Usually when God uses the word wrath, it's total destruction. I mean, that's how bad it is. But again, look at this in context with the whole section of how we are to behave, okay, with genuine love, all the way to feeding and giving our enemies something to drink. That's genuine love, all the way through. But we know, too, God says, I'll take care of those that hurt you. I'll take care of them. I will repay. Make room for the wrath of God. I will occupy. Amen? Now, see, now we have a vision. We have a picture now of what's going on. This is what God is telling us. Now, I'm going to go back and I repeat it. This comes from Noah chapters 1 through 8. If you skip that, you can't get the rest of it. You can't get the rest of it. Okay? You have to understand chapters 1 through 8. And then you can apply the rest of it. You can apply the rest of it. So we have understanding here. Now, here's the great mystery of Christianity. And it's fascinating for me. This whole section is saying something. This whole section is saying in chapter 12 that there is power in doing good. There is. See, we don't see that. It's like, you know, it's taking advantage of us and, you know. And no, there is power in doing good. Because we have this view of what God says. Yeah, you did what I said. There's power in doing good. Also, when we do good, then God moves against our enemies with his power in proportion to our good deeds. Think about that. I remember I was in, I won't tell you where I was, but this guy was saying, you know, he's recited the Psalms, Psalms 123. You know, it says, I walk through the shadow of death and I fear no evil. I thought, well, that's cool. And he ended the thing with, I walk through the shadow of death, I fear no evil because I am the toughest guy in the valley. That's what he told me. Everybody laughed. That was kind of funny. And he was tough. But that's not what this is saying. That's what this is saying. No, God, what God is going to do is he is going to move, not because we're the toughest one in the valley. He's going to move based in proportion to the godliness we show to those around us. See, he's not going to help the guy that's the toughest guy in the valley. He's just going to suffer like everybody else. But when we do good, God is going to move in our half in proportion to the goodness, how we follow out the things he shows us. Now, anyway, there's a growth process, and he teaches us all along. But we'll see this is true, and it just helps us to know this. God will move against our enemies in proportion to our good deeds. Now, this is an application. It's like, I'm going to get out of the ditch. I'm really going to sit on the side of the ditch and throw rocks in the ditch. No. You get out of the ditch, you got to get out of the ditch. Okay, I'm out of the ditch. No, you got to feed this guy. No, I'm out of the ditch. No, you have. So, if I'm hanging my feet over in the ditch throwing rocks, there's only so much God can do, will do. If I'm sitting over, all right, you've got it, and let him burn. You know, it's like, gosh, where's the genuine love? I mean, he can't help. I mean, I'm not on the same page he is. But if I have genuine, all right, I'm out there, I'm going to feed him, I'm going to help him best I can. God, you know, what you do is what you do. Okay, now I can move. What was the issue in God moving on my behalf? And see, this is something I found in my whole life, right there. I'm the issue for God not moving. It really is. You know, it's like, well, God, why? Because you never did what I told you. When I told you this, you didn't do it. It's like, geez. See, it's a refining process. He's teaching us to walk with him and see him work and then working with him. Amen? You see what they said? I encourage you to read through this. But you have to see the power of God and the power of the Holy Spirit to embrace this, to see this power. This is unbelievable power verses. Let your love be genuine. You let your love be genuine and you release the whole power of God in your life, in the situation. See, he's telling us how to release the power of God in our situation. Right here. But it gets so bad, we got these nasty people. Okay, I got them too. Know what I'm doing. It's, oh, I didn't know that. It's not for us to call down wrath. It's just to understand what God is doing. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we get out of the ditch by doing good to our enemies. Then we have power. Then we have power. Oh, if I could just tell them what I thought. Well, you can, but you're not having power. Yeah. All right. Okay. You got it. You got it. Then God wraps up with the most appropriate verse that ties it all together. You ready? This ties it all together. Everything's tied together with this verse. It is all tied together. All right? This is strategically placed. Romans 8:21. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. He just explained to us how it works. Oh, you just be good and people run over you and you can't get anything done and, you know, it's just milk toast. Now we're in a position of power and we know exactly what's going on. We know exactly. Now again, this verse is after God said, make room for my wrath. Because I'll take care of those people. See, it all fits. It all fits. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Because overcoming evil with good, there is power because God moves in his people. Amen? Hallelujah. I mean, really powerful. So, brothers and sisters, let love be genuine. And love the world just like God did. John 3:16. For God so loved the world, his love was genuine, that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. I mean, to me, my mind explodes with the consistency. How it's all tied together. You know, and it all fits together. The verse you want to skip is the one God is trying to speak to you in. Amen? It's powerful. It just really is powerful. So, hallelujah. We got here. All that, you know, just all that legwork getting from chapter 1 to chapter 12. And you go, oh, that's why. Oh, that's why. Well, why don't we just start on chapter 12, verse 9? Let love be genuine, darling. Go out and self-sacrifice. You have no power. You have no ability. You know nothing. Just go on. That is just heresy. That's destructive. But you are empowered with the fullness of God. Now you step out in that power and you watch me work. That's what these verses say. Amen? Oh my gosh. Read the whole book. Read the whole book. Why don't read the book? Then you're like those 2-year-olds that are undisciplined running around church. You see? You might make it to chapter 7, you know, that you're totally discouraged and don't work in the power of the Holy Spirit and totally miserable. and which you will share with everyone else in the body. You see what I'm saying? And God, no, we went through chapter 8, power. Now we have the power of living sacrifice, renewing our mind. We're moving in supernatural power. Amen. Hallelujah. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your love. And God, just to see your word, what you tell us. Oh my gosh, Lord, what you tell us. That there is power in doing good. By doing good, we release the Holy Spirit as you have revealed to us in chapters 1 through 8. And by that we's power, we know that we move in confidence. We move in confidence because you're who you are. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen.